What's up, everybody? Welcome, my media family. I'm so glad that you're joining in. Today, we've got a great show for you. Welcome to Shane Warren Live, where we're putting the smackdown on stupid tonight. And I mean, we're going to really get hard and heavy. I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm upset. And it's going to come across that way tonight. So I'm just warning you in advance, it's going to be one of those kinds of shows. We're live from the great big time Cookeville, Tennessee, which is nestled here in the foothills of the beautiful Appalachian Mountains.
Only Cookeville spelled this way.
Only Cookeville is, yeah.
That's right. There's only one.
Yeah, C-O-O-K-E.
B-I-L.
And everybody always says, is it Cooksville?
No, there's no S.
There's no
there
S.
There is no S. I'm passionate about it. There's no S.
It's C-O-O-K-E. Super chat is open, everybody. So as you're logging on, we want to encourage you to
hey Rick, hey Liz,
make sure that you let us know where you're watching from. We always have people that join us from all over the country. And so thank you so much for tuning in to Shane Warren Live tonight. Boy, do we have a show for you. There's been a lot that's went on, of course, in America. And we're thinking about praying for all of the families and all of the victims that lost their lives and were affected by lost lives in Texas, as a young man, literally possessed by demons, went in and destroyed the lives of those young children. So we send our love, our respect, our honor to all of those families. We're praying for you and believing that the peace of God is going to help you during this time.
Amen.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about some things tonight, and I can promise you it's going to make some of you mad. I know when I sent out an email this afternoon to all of my partners and then sent out a social media post, we told everybody we're going to talk about potentially impending civil war that is coming to America. And I know what all of you guys are doing right now that are watching me or listening to me on podcast. You're saying, oh no, here comes one of these right wing nuts, conservative, conspiracy theorist folks who thinks the demise of America is just out in front of us. You're going to be shocked tonight that the idea for this show did not come from me. It actually came from a totally different source. And so, you need to stay tuned, and we want you to get involved. I do want to ask a question from the very outset of our show. Do you believe that America is in trouble? Do you believe that a potential civil war is on the horizon because of all the division, the chaos, and the calamity that's in our land? And if you do, I want you to post it in the chat room tonight and give us your opinion. We would like to communicate with you and read your chats. It really makes us happy. It does our heart good to see you interacting with us. We don't like this to be a monologue, but a dialogue. In fact, one of the things we want to do is create a discussion that'll lead to a discovery so that we all become better on the other side of this. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about the Church of Wokeism. And I'm not necessarily speaking about the church in the aspect of just Christianity, even though we will be including them in the conversation. What we're talking about more is this, I believe, guys, the religion of wokeism that is spreading across America, taking our country by storm and dividing our land.
It is its own religion.
In and of
itself.
Why would you say that? So I know why I would say that, but why do you think that?
Because the ideas are so insane, and it's so opposite of anything else.
Yeah.
It can't be class. The articles that I was reading today, because I just like looked up Church of Wokeism and the woke church, and every church that I was looking at that had these ideas or ideology, it went against everything that is biblical and scriptural. So you cannot classify this church as a Christian church.
Right, right. Any comments on that? This is Noah Erickson, our producer, the man who is, he has got his finger on the nuclear button.
You have no idea how many buttons I have.
There's about 15 buttons over here.
Yeah, I have lots of comments on that, but I think the main thing is, and the reason when we were workshopping titles, we settled on the Church of Wokeism is because it is a religion. So one of the things that, that differentiates a religion is there's a lot of tenets that you have to take on faith and not understand,
mm-hmm.
which is, by the way, not how Christianity is supposed to be.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. We should understand the principles of Christianity.
Even though we get that rap, that is not how good fundamental Bible believing folks
exactly.
are. That's not who we are.
So it's, but yeah, so there's a lot of things, just like we were talking about last week, you know, the woman arguing with the slogans on signs.
Right.
It's like, doesn't have any ideas, just has a slogan on a sign.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that's a hallmark of a religion, is you believe things that can be easily summed up in a slogan and you don't know why you believe it.
Yeah. So it's going to get very interesting tonight. I want to say hello to everybody who's joining us on Super Chat. Susan, Wanda, Jim, Greg, Elizabeth, Cody. Hey, Cody, it's good to see you all the way from West Monroe, Louisiana. Tim, Chandra from Plano, Texas. Linda, we thank God for all of you guys that are jumping in. I do want to, I started out asking this question. I want to ask you again, do you believe America's in trouble? And if you do, tell us why you think America's in trouble. And are we heading quickly along the track toward a civil war? Tonight, we're going to talk about that in great detail, and we would like to know what your thoughts are on it. And of course, we'll interact with you on the chat room as well. Before we jump into our topic with both feet and get really over my head and get to drowning in this subject, I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. Number one, I need you to subscribe to the channel. As you subscribe, our subscribers go, it helps us with the algorithms, and it allows us to get more views, which helps us get the information that we're talking about out amongst the public. So please subscribe and take that big old fist and pound on that like button. Give us a thumbs up or give us a thumbs down. If you don't really like us, give us a thumbs down. We don't care. We just want you to interact with us. And also hit that notification bell. Now, the reason for that is because I almost, when the school shooting happened, within 30 minutes, I almost decided to go live. If I would have went live, then immediately it would have notified you that we were going live within just a few minutes, and you could have jumped on and joined us from anywhere in the world. So it's very important. Subscribe, like, and hit the notification bell for us. And if you value people who are trying to stand for truth, trying to lift up a voice, trying to make a stand for what is right in our nation, then I need you to partner with us as well. And so would you pray about becoming a partner with Shane Warren Ministries? What this does is helps us pay for all of this equipment here and also helps us promote the show on various platforms all over the world so that other people are able to jump on. And so if you could partner with us, that would be a tremendous blessing. And all you got to do is text SWM to 7326. Maybe Noah could throw that back up there again for you. That is text SWM to 73256, 73256. If you do that, I'm wearing our new hats. They just came in hot off the embroidery machines, and they are here right now. So tomorrow, literally tomorrow, many of you that have become a partner of our ministry is going to get your hat sent out to you in the mail. That's coming to you tomorrow. You'll probably have them by Monday. And just a partnership for $20 a month, just your way of saying, hey, we believe in what you're doing. It helps us, but we want to just sow something into you as well. Well, tonight I sent out a very provocative invitation for all of you and others to join us as we talk about America and the potential for civil war and the Church of Wokeism, the religion that is spreading across America right now, taking it by storm, creating chaos and confusion, and dividing us on every single level. Guys, tonight, I want to know your thoughts. I want to know, are you as mad and angry with the stupidity that is going on in our nation that's leading us down a road of terrible destruction? I'm frustrated. I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of seeing lives of innocent children taken. I'm tired of the stupidity in politics and the realm of politics and all of the governmental antics that are taking place. I'm tired of lukewarm religion. I'm tired of all the division of the land, the racism, and everything that's coming along with it. And what's sad about all of this is most of this isn't coming from the heartbeat of America. This is being stoked by people who have agendas on the side to destroy the land. And I believe that it's going to turn on them and all of us. And that's the reason I sent out that email saying that I believe that very soon we could enter into a time where literally in America, we're in a situation of civil war. I know, guys, y'all know what's going to be said by everybody, especially the liberals who are going to be watching this program or listening to it on podcast. Every one of them are going to say, okay, here goes these three white racist
bigots.
Republican bigots. Right.
I'm part Cherokee. Thank you very much.
Homophobic.
I'm 1/18th Cherokee.
You're an 18th?
Yeah.
I'm like somewhere in the 16th range.
So. I've got all of you beat, and I want my land and restoration. Anyway, so, but anyhow.
This continent was ours to begin with. Right?
Yeah, it's exactly right. But anyway, they're going to say we're conspiracy theorists, we're racist, we're homophobic, and that we're espousing or promoting for us to enter into a time of civil war, that we're encouraging people to be violent and to do what happened on January the 6th. Mm-hmm. And they're going to blame us. So I've been doing a lot of study. And again, I know many of you that are watching are going to think I'm the one that came up with the title saying that we were entering into civil war. But what we're going to do tonight is we're going to start off by showing you a video. We're going to show you a video, and this video is from CNN and Michael Holmes, where he is talking to Professor Barbara Walter of the University of California in San Diego about her work and her study. She is a specialist when it comes to studying for the United States government nations that are on the verge of entering civil war. Now, I want you to realize, now, I don't know Barbara, but I do know CNN pretty well. They fall on the liberal or the left side of the equation all the time, or the discussion. And so it's probably obvious to us that they're of that mindset. And I want you to notice what the left is talking about. Guys, this blows my mind that the left is talking about this. They accuse us of this. But the left is talking about this. You just got to hear this for yourself. So, Noah, go ahead and roll that video right there.
The rigid refusal by lawmakers to compromise underscores the disturbing findings of one study on democracy in the U.S. According to a Washington Post editorial, data from the Center for Systemic Peace finds the U.S. no longer technically qualifies as a democracy after the Trump administration.
We never were a democracy.
It's somewhere between a democracy and an autocratic state. Barbara Walter is a professor of international relations at the School of Global Policy and Strategy at the University of California, San Diego. She joins me now, and I'm delighted. I mean, when we look at the research, it's frankly frightening, and you conclude that the U.S. is, quote, closer to civil war than any of us would like to believe. How close?
Well, I've been studying civil wars for the last 30 years across the globe. And in fact, the last 4 years, I've been on a task force run by the CIA that tries to predict where outside the United States a civil war, political violence, and instability is likely to break out. And we actually know now that the two best predictors of whether violence is likely to happen or whether a country is an anocracy, and that's a fancy term for a partial democracy, and whether ethnic entrepreneurs have emerged in a country that are using racial, religious,
ethnic entrepreneurs
to try to gain political power. And the amazing thing about the United States is that both of these factors currently exist, and they have emerged at a surprisingly fast rate.
What's remarkable is the research isn't based on sentiment. It's based on metrics and markers and signs and facts that the
highly
U.S.
subjective
uses
metrics
to determine
and
the state of mm-hmm. other countries' democracies.
Because the CIA has a great history of reading countries.
So if the U.S.
countries.
Were looking at another country and saw these signs, what would be the U.S. evaluation of that country?
The U.S. would look at that country and we would put that country likely at risk, we quote-unquote risk of civil war. The United States is pretty close to being at high risk of civil war.
Why does she look
and
so
once
happy?
A country is at high risk, the task force puts it on what we call
question.
A watch list. Countries that the agency wants to watch very closely
because
they believe
CNN,
sometime
or she wants
in the next
war?
Few years that country is at high risk of descending into instability or political violence.
Wow. I think most Americans automatically assume, truly believe that democracy is sacrosanct in this country, that the system is solid and safe and impervious. What do you say to them? How do you punch through complacency?
What I say to them is we all wish that the United States was a strong democracy. We all see it that way, but the reality is just not true.
I would agree with that.
The United States has been declining as a democracy for the last 5 years on every measure. There are multiple different data sets that measure democracy in various different ways, and all of them have showed America in decline. And in fact, the main measure that the task force uses to predict political violence, it comes from a data set called the Polity data set. They have actually classified the United States for the very first time as an anocracy, not a full democracy, not a partial democracy. Some people call it a hybrid democracy. Fareed Zakaria has called it an illiberal democracy, but it is certainly not considered on par with countries like Switzerland or Canada or Denmark or Japan. We are no longer considered the world's longest democracy. That ended in January of 2021.
I wonder why she would think that ended in January in 2021. And by the way, guys, we want to apologize for the video. We're doing our best to get that audio feed to you. I want to know your thoughts on this. I am totally shocked, and I would like to say that this is the only source that has been talking about civil war in America, but I started doing some research, and I was shocked to find out that there were multiple liberal news sources and organizations who were doing shows and having forums talking about America entering into a time of civil war. In fact, a man by the name of Stephen Marsh, M-A-R-C-H-E, an author, wrote a book about the United States, and he said that the United States is coming to an end. He recently did a panel discussion on one of the networks, and he said in his book is entitled The Next Civil War. I did download the book and tried to speed read as much as I could before today, before we had our show tonight. It is actually a very interesting book. This author insists that rising inequality, racial conflict, environmental destruction, a lack of a unified national purpose means another civil war is now inevitable. And he predicts that civil war in America is so on track that we have a 70% chance that we're going to enter a time of civil war. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is extremely dangerous talk. And so I know we've got a lot of people right now that are jumping on the super chat. Shelley's saying it's definitely a purposeful destruction of America. I think so, Shelley. I think you're agreeing. We want to know your thoughts.
I would agree with
that. Yeah, I would agree with that completely. And you guys feel free to jump in on here. I'm pretty much done with my monologue. I'm getting ready to go into my rant.
I have a definition and a question. So the definition, which they didn't give in that CNN clip, is of anocracy is part democratic or democracy, part dictatorship. So if we have any, and I don't know that we do, but if we have any left-leaning friends in the chat right now, I would like to hear from you what under the Trump administration would be considered dictatorial or totalitarian.
Right.
And I also really question them saying that Canada is a better democracy. Canada was under lockdown for so long that their truck drivers all went on strike because they weren't allowed to come into the country with goods that people needed.
Yeah, exactly. You got any thoughts you want to add to this before I jump on the super chat? I mean, people are going nuts already on super chat.
No, from all I was just thinking about the maps when the truck drivers were around the Capitol in Canada.
Yeah.
And they were backed up.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Again, guys, what do you guys think about this? Do you feel like America's on the verge of civil war? You guys can help me here. One comment here is, you have to be liberal to have a democracy. Tim is saying that.
We've changed the definition of liberal as part of the problem. So there's a lot of ways where Christian thinking would classify as liberal.
Yeah.
The issue that I have is not so much with liberals, because liberals usually have a really similar idea about what they want done, but just have different ideas about how to go about doing it.
Yeah.
The issue I have is with a progressive. Right. A progressive wants to change things for the sake of change. They don't care what the damage is. They're not worried about consequences. And when we complain about liberals, a lot of time we're really complaining about progressives.
Yeah. Howard in the Super Chat is saying New World Order requires America to be brought down to its knees. Only then can the Antichrist take over. Bill is saying, if I live in California where the governor is a tyrant, that would be your perspective.
I'd say California is an anocracy.
Yeah, I would have to agree that California, of all places, and maybe the Northeast, you would have some of that.
Both coasts, really.
Joshua's saying George Friedman, head of Stratfor, is where WikiLeaks docs come from. He wrote the book on America after 2020's the most accurate geopolitical analyst in the world. Book is called The Storm Before the Calm. Tell us a little bit about that book, Joshua, because I don't know anything about it, and I don't know how to comment on what you're saying there. Edgar is saying we changed the definition of almost everything. Amen. These days. Well, that's really the reason that we advertise this whole deal of wokeism, because I believe that's part of the problem. We are redefining everything.
Remember, the definition of tolerance is you will believe exactly what I want you to do, or I'll burn your house down.
Right.
Yeah. Gary saying, this is saying it's Patty. If the government tries to lock us down for monkeypox this fall, I could see a revolt. Greg is saying could the coming food shortage come into play with this? And by the way, guys, if you don't know, right now there's a lot of buzz going on about a shortage of food that is coming very, very quickly. I plan on doing a show on it here in a couple of weeks. I'm amassing some information from some sources that will shock you. Some of these sources are telling me that diesel could go up to $10, over $10 a gallon, and that 28% of the truckers in America could be grounded, so to speak, and not able to deliver. Can you imagine what that is going to do to the American economy? Pamela is saying, I believe they are attempting to speak into existence the direction they want America to go. The media's rhetoric is television programming. You are right on it, Pamela.
That is exactly right.
They are telling us what they want us to believe, and they're really telling us what they want to do. Connor saying 1984 was supposed to be a warning, not a user manual. Guys, I appreciate all your comments here. Edgar is one of my fun people that I follow. He has memes. If you guys don't follow Edgar Lopez on social media, just jump on there and follow him on YouTube, or not on YouTube, but on Facebook. He's absolutely hilarious. Every meme that he puts up every day will crack you up. It is it's something else. Joshua in Super Chat is saying it's a forecast of America's geopolitical, a forecast of America, which included civil war and dollar collapse. Pamela says life and death is in the power of the tongue. Let me ask you guys a question. Noah and Danielle, I want to ask you, and those of you who are watching us today and in the Super Chat, what would another civil war in America look like? Now, again, I just want to remind everybody, it wasn't me, the right-wing conspiracist, that brought up the idea of civil war. This is CNN. And some of their panelists that are bringing, and they're not the only, there's been a lot of people talking about this. Tim Pool and others have brought this up before. I've listened to it on there. Why is civil war a topic that is running around in the media world right now? And what does that look like? I mean, is it going to look like the original Civil War? Or is it going to be totally different?
I don't think it would look like that, because I don't think it would be a war of two armies fighting each other. And we would have to hope it, first of all, we have to hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And if it did happen, we have to hope that no armies get involved.
Right.
Because that would not be a very good conflict, an army against the American people. But I think you would see, infighting between groups, because you wouldn't have a Mason-Dixon line dividing two sides.
Right.
Every major city, the big cities are all going to be more towards one side of this debate, but there's still people who are on the other side in those cities. The rural areas are going to be the opposite. So you'd have fighting within states, within counties, yeah. possibly within cities. It would look like less like what we think of as the Civil War or a historic war we've been in, and much more like
the streets of Chicago.
Yeah, the streets of Chicago.
Yeah, what do you think it would look like?
I think going back to like what Noah said about tolerance, and we spoke on it just a little bit last week, our last session together. People can't have a conversation anymore. You know, tolerance is if you don't believe what I'm saying, then I'm going to kill you or we're going to fight. So
don't you think tolerance in our time, tolerance means you got to agree with me?
Absolutely. Yeah. It does. And if you don't agree with me, then there's a fight and mm-hmm. people can't conversate anymore. So when we can't conversate, that comes out in violence and then death.
Pamela in the super chat is making a great point here. She's saying we're currently in a civil war. It's an information war. The battlefield is in our minds, truth versus deception. I think she's on the money with that. So here's something that's interesting. By definition, I looked up by definition what a civil war, what qualifies or quantifies a civil war, and that is at least 1,000 people a year dying at the hands of like religious faction, political faction, something like that. Well, if that's the definition of a civil war, then we are already in the midst of the beginning of a civil war. And I know you were sharing with me something right before we were coming on about the shootings, mass shootings in America. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the FBI reports 212 mass shootings in the United States in the first 144 days of 2022. So I looked up the definition of a mass shooting or what qualifies, and it's three or more persons being killed.
Yeah, could one of you guys Google real quick how many people in 2022, or 2021 and 2022 have been killed? And let's just say in the last year through these mass shootings, and see how close we are to that 1,000 mark. Oh man, people are really jumping in here. Guys, thank you for your comments. We want to know what you think. And you know what I really would like? I would really like you guys to take and hit the share button and share this feed. I would like you to share it with some liberal friends and invite them to come get on the chat, because I would like to know what they feel about this. Why do they feel that a civil war is necessary? This is not coming from radical Republicans, Proud Boys, or somebody like that they have classified as rebellionist in America. This is coming from the left. They're talking about the potential of a civil war. Now, they're going to blame it on us. And, you know, the other thing I want to know is, what do you feel? Now, I know you guys are on here and you're saying the devil is causing this and all that. And I agree. I agree. Satan is behind all of this.
People
mess.
Agreeing with the devil is causing.
Yeah. What I want to know in the natural, what is really stoking the fires of the division in America? What do you feel like is causing this terrible separation and polarization that's going on in America? Jack is commenting in Super Chat that their ultimate goal is to bring us into compliance to their agenda. If they can cause us to turn on each other, they're going to succeed. And that's so true. Jesus said a house divided against itself can't stand. Howard's saying the civil war will be between family members, completing the destruction of core values in America. Interesting thought there. Alan is saying some of that environmental monkeypox. Let's talk about that. Edgar is saying our military is comprised of personnel that are also divided like us civilians. I'm a Marine. By the way, thank you for your service, Edgar.
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. And we were different in my era. Now, even our military is woke. That's scary to me. I know he's telling the truth, but that's scary.
Aren't there literal policies in place, like specific literal on paper policies that are denying advancement to people who don't hold with the ruling view?
Yeah. Gary is saying civil war is an oxymoron. Wars are not civil. That's so true. Scott is saying, Google how many people were killed by gun violence in Chicago alone.
Scott, let me chip on that. I was Googling that, and there's a couple problems with that. So one is the definition of gun violence. You have to be able to rule out the suicides. I see a lot of interesting and useful information in the information that you can't readily look up. And one of those things that I was not able to readily look up was that. And another was how many, you know, mass shooting deaths in the U.S. this year. Mm-hmm. Can't find that statistics.
Mm-hmm. Because, I can't find it quickly. It's not like a number that's just ready to go.
You know, Gary's jumping on here saying that look ahead to the November 8th midterms. Well, I have been looking ahead to the November 8th midterms. And Gary and everybody else, I got some shocking news for you. I don't know if any of you guys have looked into what happened just a week or so ago in the primaries, specifically in the state of Georgia, which was a hotly contested state during the presidential election. Only about 600,000 people voted in the 2018 primaries, which allowed the Democrats to move in and take a lot of ground. But last week, over 1 million people voted, and all the statistical analysis that is coming out of it is saying that 7% of the Democrats jumped ship and voted for Republican candidates. So what that's telling me is even the Democrats themselves don't like what's going on in the nation, many of them. And I had this thought the other day, and I was having lunch with a friend of mine named Richard, a very good friend, a great man and a mentor of ours when I was a young man. He told me, he said, Shane, he said, the Democratic Party, the left, and is overplaying their hand. And he said they're pushing some of this wokeism stuff so much, trying to divide the land, that it could have the absolute opposite effect. Now, if 7%, and I'm just, you know, this is my analytical brain, if 7% jump ship, then what that means is during the presidential election, if and normally your primaries kind of give you an indication of where your presidential elections are going, in 2024, then what that means is we could end up with a 14-point swing. Because notice, again, how that works is if you lose 7% here and you gain 7% over there, it ends up being 7 to 7 is 14, a 14-point swing. What that would mean is just in Georgia alone, the Republican candidates would win by almost 70%. 70%.
Unless monkeypox means we have to have universal mail-in
money
voting.
Moneypox.
Moneypox? That's
the Chaos Island.
Gotcha.
Moneypox. I'm going to steal that now. So moneypox is rum. And Edgar, you need to start running with this moneypox instead of monkeypox. Well, again, so let's do talk about this. So now we go into the presidential election, and let's say there is a frustration. Then what that means is the left better be building an ark, because they're not getting ready to run into a red tide. They're coming to a flood. And so there could be a shift. And is that the reason they're talking this Civil War stuff? Maybe the violence, maybe the anger, maybe the hatred, maybe the homophobic.
To scare us off.
Yeah, maybe it's coming from the side. Maybe the one who's always throwing the rocks at the dogs and rallying the dogs up are the ones who's actually the problem. I'm just saying that could be.
Well, isn't there a history of that? I mean, when we've begun to make progress towards sanity, and guys, remember, you know, if you're left leaning in this group, that's cool. I'm right libertarian.
Yeah.
If you're left libertarian, we can talk, man. We can probably work some stuff out. But if you're far hyper left progressive, I still want to know what you have to say. But there's a good chance we won't be friends. But anyway, you know, if you look at the history of it, every time there's been direction towards anywhere towards the middle, because remember that Trump is not very conservative. He was not very conservative.
Right.
Anytime there's momentum towards the middle, it seems like we have a huge problem. We have riots all over the country, or we have a disease that everyone has to lock down. It's almost like every time there's something pushing us away from sanity, is what I would call it, that there's other forces that come into play to exert control and do some other things to try to stop that momentum.
Yeah. Steve is saying the left is all about divide and conquer, and this is what is driving their agenda. Also consider things being said at the Economic Forum this week. Yeah, there was a lot that was covered at the Economic Forum, and I really wanted to do a show on some of that this week, but I tell you, there's so much to talk about here. You know, can I be just very transparent with all of our viewers and our listeners on the podcast platforms? I thought when I started this, like every week, I would be struggling to find what I was going to talk about.
You were wrong.
Now, every week, I'm like, man, what am I, which topic?
Yeah, that was this week.
Are we going to talk about? So let's talk about this whole division. What is causing the division in America? So, I mean, please, guys, don't just throw out the devil. I know the devil's behind all kinds. He's the source of all the root of all evil. But just what is really the source of all the division? What do you think, Danielle? What's the source of the division?
I think it's the media. Not only playing into adults, but also pushing these ideologies onto children.
Yeah.
So not only do you have the adults, the parents, college kids, whatever, pushing their opinion, pushing their thoughts, but then you also have the kids coming behind because they see these things.
Yeah.
And then it's generation after generation with these big, strong ideas. And I remember when I was a kid, I had no like political ideas. I just said what my parents said.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
If I said anything at all. But now you have elementary school kids, middle school kids that are seeing all these things on Twitter, on TikTok, on Instagram, who have their own ideas, and then they continue growing with that. And
well, the teachers are helping them have those ideas too.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
What do you feel like, Noah, is the real bulk of, if you could nail it down to one thing that's really driving us toward this polarization and the hatred?
I think to get to that answer, you have to ask the right question. And just like with the money pox, the right question is, you know, you follow the money. Who benefits? Mm-hmm. Who benefits from this?
Yeah.
And I do believe the media is a huge part of it. The media, entrenched people, entrenched bureaucrats, the deep state, some people call it, the career politicians, other people call it,
yeah,
are driving a lot of it because there's a direct correlation between power and wealth.
Right.
In a lot of cases. And there's a lot of people who are in power and have access to wealth and don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
So if they can keep all of us divided, you know, Lord forbid that we all come to some kind of agreement on the direction we want the country to go, because then we wouldn't need them.
Yeah. Noah, I don't know if maybe you can scroll back down through some of these comments so that I can catch up. Literally, you guys are, I appreciate you so much jumping on here. We want to know what your thoughts are. You know, Gary says if the left loses control of everything as far as Congress and the Senate, they will lose their minds on November the 9th. It's very possible. Cody saying martial law could be coming. I mean, definitely if we start having these kinds of things happen that we're talking about, it's definitely Kemp and Raffensperger in Georgia didn't help Trump any. Edgar Lopez is saying this is woke religion. Rick is saying morality is gone. Deborah is saying don't leave out the indoctrination of the educational system. I'm telling you guys, our educational system, we've got some great teachers across the nation who really love children. But as a whole, our educational system has become the schoolhouse for woke mm-hmm. religion.
Yeah, but who
it's,
funds
it is the Sunday school program for the woke religion.
Who funds the public schools?
We do.
We yeah. do.
Tax dollars.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we pay for them to
teach our kids and things that we don't want them to be taught.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Read some there. Tell me.
Connor is just hitting the nail on the head today. He says, we no longer view people with different views as wrong or uninformed, but just evil. When you believe the other side is evil, you will not listen to have a productive conversation. And
yeah.
that's exactly right. And that is the training, that is the programming, mm-hmm. that is the indoctrination, at least of the radical left, mm-hmm. is anyone who believes different from you, it's not because they have different life experiences that lead them to come to a different conclusion. It's because they're evil. They're morally bankrupt. Mm-hmm. They should be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I believe there's actually a term for that, for classifying people who don't agree with you as basically non-humans. Danielle, do you know what that
Or I would have to Google it. I don't know.
I would have to Google it too, and then it probably wouldn't come up in a Google search because, you know, I'm looking for it.
Everything's filtered.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of what you guys are talking about right now, I read an article today that was actually discussing this, and they were saying the number one reason for a potential civil war that's on the horizon in America is hyper-partisanship. And what's happening in America now is literally families are forbidding their kids to marry other kids or adults that are of different political persuasions. The bulk of America not too long ago, just a couple decades ago, was, I would say, mainly moderate Democrats, moderate Republicans. And so therefore, they sat together and would have conversations. Now, albeit they would fight and vehemently disagree with each other, but that's what being a republic is all about. That's what having democratic representation is all about. But you don't have that anymore.
No, it's extreme on one side, extreme on the other side.
And proof of this is Beto.
Oh, geez, what interrupting.
You didn't see what he did?
No, I didn't see it.
You did not see what he did?
He marched up to the front of the stage where they were addressing the shooting in Texas, and he starts going off about the gun laws, I think. Mm-hmm. It was insane.
He literally politically did a grandstand. He did a political grandstand while they were trying to deal with the horrific events and communicate clearly to everybody what had happened and what they were trying to do. He goes up and he shows his tail in front of the media, the press, everybody, interrupts the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the others, and then the mayor of the town, and then the senator? The senator started telling him he was a sick, and I can't even say the words.
He was saying bad words.
It was really bad. It got ugly. But again, when we're talking about this hyper-partisanship, that's what we're discussing now. So notice we have children. Is it 19 lives now? 19 children?
19 children, two adults.
19 children, two adults that died tragically at the hands of a lunatic who is demon-possessed, kills these children. Only somebody demon-possessed can do what he did. I don't care how bad you've been brought up. Only somebody demon-possessed could shoot a child. An innocent child. And so what you're having is you're having these political parties. They're not even letting the blood dry on the ground of these precious children before they're trying to politically jockey for position and use it for some kind of political gain, which polarizes. This polarizes everybody. It does, in a time when we need to come together. It's very polarizing.
From 2019 until right this very second, a huge focus of the mainstream media, I'm looking at you, CNN, has been how rude and inappropriate and unpresidential and unstatesmanlike Trump was.
Yeah.
And yet we have a leading Democrat politician, a nominee for president and vice president, probably going to try to get a nomination again for the Democratic Party, behaving like that.
Yeah.
It just boggles the mind. Now, even out of those circumstances, it boggles the mind that somebody in that position would behave that way.
Yeah.
Now, I guess it shouldn't, because I've seen Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters for years.
I don't know if you guys would agree with this, but I mean, it's almost like we have lost all civility in America. We don't know how to love each other, care about each other. Kingdom Keys is quoting Isaiah 64:6. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment, and we all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind, they do take us away. That scripture is so true concerning this moment. Gary is saying Obama compared the mass shootings to George Floyd.
Yeah, he did.
That was the most... Oh,
did you guys
George
see
George Floyd
the,
is an idol?
Is
for
it
them.
Is it all right for me to say something really? No, I'm not going to say
did
something
you,
really
did,
bad. I want to say something.
Did you guys see the full body cam footage? The full body cam footage of the incident?
No,
that the media did not show.
No,
no.
Where? So first of all, the responding officers recognized immediately and pretty much knew what he was on, and he was on, he had a lethal dose of, it was meth and fentanyl, wasn't it? I believe it was methamphetamine and fentanyl. They've seen it many, many times. They actually, I can't remember the term, but law enforcement has a term for somebody coming down off of that. Someone coming down off of that is at a very, very high risk of death, and they need medical treatment right away. They had already called the paramedics. They put Mr. Floyd in the back of the car. He threw a fit. He didn't want to be in the back of the car. They got him out, and then he started shouting, "You're going to have to hold me down. You're going to have to hold me down. Don't let me up." So for a large part of the time that the officer had his knee on the guy's neck, which he shouldn't have done, he was literally saying, "You're going to have to hold me down. You're going to have to hold me down."
Right. My thing is, what does George Floyd have to do with the death of 19, 9 and 10-year-old children?
Well, you have to go back to the agenda. Everyone loves children, most people.
Right.
Well, not 2 weeks ago when we were talking about abortion.
Yeah, not those children.
Not those. But everyone loves children. So when we have this incident of children, everyone wants to come together and have empathy and sympathy for these families. And then someone sees that and it's like, oh, never mind. Let's throw in George Floyd because that caused division.
Yeah. One of the teachers that was shot, her husband died of a heart attack today. I read that. Sad. Oh, family said that he died of a broken heart. The fact that people in politics think it's okay to behave that way in front of the whole nation is abhorrent, Gary says. Connor saying, I agree with Pamela. I grew up in Texas. Our schools were on lockdown with single point entry. Lot doesn't add up.
Connor,
We were just talking about that.
Connor, put in chat where in Texas. I grew up in the Garland area. I was in the Richardson Independent School District, and we were saying before we started tonight that my school, we had metal detectors, we had armed law enforcement. This is in, I'm talking like 1994 when I got to high school. We had all that. Yeah. From what I read, they ordinarily had an armed law enforcement officer at the school, and the doors were ordinarily locked. But that day, no one was there armed, and the doors were unlocked, and the guy was able to just walk in.
It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's so strange. Janie, you better be careful, honey. She says that shootings tend to occur just about the time that gun control issues are being brought up by the liberals. New York is about to start the gun control
conspiracy
issue.
Theory.
Yeah, conspiracy. Yeah. So anyway, you better watch out. They'll get you, girl.
Pastor Steve, man, I'm telling you, that's exactly right. I've been saying for a long time, part of the problem with America is that we believe that we are entitled to live a life devoid of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And it manifests all the way from when I was coming out of high school and thought I should have my parents' lifestyle as soon as I got out on my own. And guess what? That doesn't happen. You get an apartment and a roommate right out of high school most of the time. We think we shouldn't see anything bad. So when something horrible happens, which is just, we're living in a fallen world. We're living in a fallen world, and there are people who are not following the Lord. They're following their own desires, and even worse, there are people who are following the devil.
Yeah.
Whether they call it that and call themselves demon worshipers or not, that's what they're doing, and horrible things happen and will continue to happen until Jesus takes back his planet by force.
Yeah. Our Susanna in the Super Chat is saying, yes, and they are even inserting their agenda in the cartoons, pushing on young children, our schools, media, very sad. This is wokeism, the church of wokeism that we're talking about. It is a religion. It is a religion. And, you know, I'm very heartbroken over what happened in Texas. But in some ways, the chickens are coming home to roost for us because we've allowed decades of programming of our children. Mm-hmm. We've allowed some of the most violent, horrific video games where kids sets around and shoots their grandmothers in the face.
Yeah.
Shoots other kids in schools. And then you have somebody who is messed up mentally, and Noah, I think you were telling me some things. This young man had some real problems going on.
I know the big ticket item is that he cut his face for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And Danielle and I were talking about this before the show that people who are into cutting, and I was at one point before I knew the Lord, they typically do it where it's not visible because it's for them.
Mm-hmm.
This young man did it to be seen. Just that. Other issues, his mother's the only one I could find that said he was a good kid and wouldn't hurt anybody.
She was a drug user.
Ah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I can't find anything about who his father was.
Nope.
I know that he'd had, apparently, according to his mom's boyfriend, a big argument with her. She turned off the Wi-Fi. I don't know what she turned off the Wi-Fi to prevent him from doing online.
I think that was a pretty common occurrence, said one of his high school best friends.
Pamela is asking a good question here. Where did he get a $2,000 gun? And here's the thing, Pamela. He didn't have just one. He had a couple, because Daniel Defense are the most expensive ARs that you can buy. One of the most expensive.
So just a little segue here. I know a lot of people. I know, Scott, you know what we're talking about. Tim, you know what we're talking about. A lot of people know what we're talking about. But if you read media reports, it is amazing how little they know about firearms.
Exactly.
At all.
Yeah.
People magazine said he had two 23 round magazines. I dare you to Google 23 round AR mag. Nobody makes them. They were saying it was a high powered 5.56 cartridge. 5.56 is technically a medium range varmint hunting round. It is weak enough that the military has just adopted a new gun. It's not out yet, but they're moving to a significantly more powerful cartridge because it's insufficient for the purposes of killing people, which we don't want to talk about it, but that's what military weapons are made for.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad.
It is sad. I want to go back to what you were talking about, the video games, because I did do a little bit of research here over the past couple of days. So in one of the studies, they took a group of people who don't normally play video games, and they put them in front of, I think it was one of the Call of Duty video games, for 40 minutes at a time, and then they exposed them to painful images, so like someone dying or someone being hurt. And over the course of these, like, several moments, 40 minutes of video game exposed to a painful image, their responses decrease to those painful images. So as humans, we are born with the innate ability to have empathy, not sympathy, but empathy, the ability to really feel what someone else is feeling, to be able to sit down and say, yes, I understand what you're going through. I'm here for you. Not the like, hey, I feel sorry for you. Here's a card. Yeah. And a balloon type thing. So when these children, such as this boy, when he's playing these video games, his childhood high school best friend said that he was playing these video games, his ability to feel or experience empathy towards other humans was basically non-existent. And we're exposing children to that every day because these children have Xboxes, I don't even know what PS number they're on now, but they have their phones, their iPads, and they're playing these games. And it's not just like Duck Hunter
anymore. It's not Mario Brothers.
No, it's not. And it's not racing games. It's games where they're killing other humans, like grandmas and grandpas. And I saw one where this kid ran up to a person in their car. Oh, Grand Theft Auto. That's what it was.
Grand Theft Auto.
Pulls them out of the car and then pulls the car off and it runs over them. And I'm just like, what? How is this?
They probably got a lot of points for that.
Yeah, probably. Rich in the super chat is saying spot on, generations of undisciplined kids have to have their way, can't deal with anything, are coming home to roost, the full blooming of idiocy.
Can we go back real quick to this desensitization?
Yes.
Because here's the thing that's shocking about it. And we can't lay video games are, yeah, there's a bunch that I won't touch. Right. I am a gamer.
They might not affect everybody the same way, but this young man had a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. He had a lot of problems, and he had a lot of problems before that, I'm sure. Well, actually, maybe not. He's young enough. He's always had realistic video games. You know, we started with Atari, so maybe it's a little different for us. But movies, too. I mean, if you're familiar at all with the subgenre body horror, it's some pretty terrifying stuff. That's designed to shock and to desensitize you. Mm-hmm. And even to the point where some of this stuff is in the rated for teen television at this point. I mean, even just go back. How old is NCIS? The original NCIS is more than a decade, right?
Yeah.
There's some pretty disturbing stuff in that TV show. That was a decade ago. But what's shocking to me that what's happening with these people, and I saw, I think possibly Joshua said that the Texas shooter was, and I even hate that term. Let's call him a killer.
Yeah.
The Texas killer tortured animals. Well, the Buffalo, New York one did too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the beginning in sociopaths or psychopaths. It doesn't matter. But that is one of the most common traits that they all have is it starts with animals.
Yeah, they start on animals before they move to people. Now, the thing that to me is shocking about this, about losing your empathy and your ability to empathize with someone, And to be affected emotionally and mentally by something like that is the military literally has to train that out of people to make them effective soldiers and Marines and airmen and sailors.
Yeah.
If they're frontline combatants, it literally takes sleep deprivation and all kinds of stuff that most Americans would probably think is torture to train that out of someone so that they can do that. Because the default for a person is, I would never do that. Mm-hmm. That's the default. That has to be trained out. And we're seeing it trained out of children.
Young children.
Yeah. Joshua is saying America's sick and deprived of society. The country of Serbia has the most guns in Europe. They don't have shootings like the USA. America needs to come back to God. It's not a gun issue. It's the heart. Donnie is saying that distractions. Let's stay focused on the fact that our election by treasonous actions was stolen to overthrow our government. This has been planned for decades, and Antifa was a part of it. Again, I want to tell you guys, no matter what you believe about the elections, if you haven't watched 2000 Mules with Dinesh D'Souza, it's excellent, and it's eye-opening. Janie says, my dad taught me to shoot when I was 12. It was a BB gun, but he taught me not to aim it at people or animals, but targets only. Shooting something alive was only for food. Howard says the lukewarm church has failed America, especially our children.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah.
So, all right, we've talked about the problem now for a little while. We've talked about the problem. What's the solution? Because we've got to figure out a solution. And first of all, I want to know what you guys think is the solution in the super chat. What do you feel like is the solution? Let's start, first of all, with the natural side of things. I know God's the solution, and we'll talk about even specifics of that. What is the natural things that we can do that would be special, that would help us come out of this craziness that we're in to head off this potential civil unrest that could be coming down the pipe, to stop wokeism in its tracks and to kill this whole poisonous, vicious cycle that our country's in right now? My heart hurts for this. This is not the nation that I want the kind of nation that I want my grandkids to grow up in and to have their kids in. So what is the solution? Let's talk about the natural side of things. And I want to hear what you guys have to say in the chat room there. What do you think the solution is? And as you're thinking through that and getting ready to post your comments, I want to remind you again, because we don't have long before we've got to go off the air, I want to remind you again, please subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. We're trying to get our subscribers way up. Helps the algorithm. And then smash the like or the dislike button. If you don't like what we're doing, go ahead and give us the feedback. We don't care. Well, we do care, but we want to hear from you. So smash the like button.
We can't not care because we're empathetic.
Yeah, that's true. So true. And then on top of that, make sure you hit that notification bell, because very shortly we're going to get to the point where we're going to come live on the heels of events. I talked to somebody this last week about us putting together our own channel on YouTube that is filled with programming like this that we would build out. And so that brings me to my next point. We need your help to do that. We can't do this for free. This costs a lot of money. And so if you can, would you consider please partner with our ministry? So if you can partner with Shane Warne Ministries, it's simple. All you got to do is text SWM to 73256. Become a partner for $20 more a month. We'll send you out a free hat. All of the hats just came in that has the SW logo on it. You might not want it. It doesn't matter. We'll send it out to you anyway, just our way of saying thank you. What that does is it helps us to actually spread this message on a larger scale through other platforms. And so, we need your help for that. All right. Let's talk. Now we have people that are saying, hey, how do we stop this? How do we do this? How do we make a difference here? Garrett Connor saying peaceful divorce and breaking up. You're going to have to scroll back down. Noah, it got away from me there. Peaceful divorce and breaking up the country. I know what he's talking about.
That didn't work last time.
Yeah, it didn't work last time. I do know what you're talking about.
It hasn't worked for Northern California or the state of Lincoln, as it would like to be.
Yeah. Let me just say to you, I don't know that divorce is ever a good thing in the natural or in the spiritual. I think that we need to do whatever we can do to fight to keep the country together. Mm-hmm. And we can turn it around. I know a 70% chance seems horrific, but we can turn this around. Howard says, break the stronghold.
The teachers union.
The strong teachers union. I do agree that there is a problem there.
Gary says, arm the teachers. I mean, with sufficient training, but yeah, I still think that's a good idea.
Yeah. At least have some armed personnel. I don't understand why there was no armed personnel in that school.
There was supposed to be, and that's a whole nother discussion as to why there wasn't, but why aren't there more? Why aren't there enough armed, properly trained people to be able to stop anything? I mean, I thought about that the same thing with Buffalo, New York. I don't know if New York State has horrible gun laws, or if Buffalo as a municipality does, but why was there no one armed except the one horrible person?
Yeah.
You usually see that when the laws prevent law-abiding people from being armed.
Yeah. Donnie, Tim is saying time for a silent majority to speak up. Obviously, we as a people of faith and conservatism need to, you know, like Danielle talked about last week, get the volume turned up.
Absolutely.
We've got to become louder than the other people in the room. That doesn't mean we got to be obnoxious. Loud is not necessarily obnoxious, but we do need to get louder. If you could scroll back down just a little bit there, Donnie says, start at the local levels and get involved. Mm-hmm. We, the people, drive our elected officials. They do not drive us. Be a voice. Write your state senators and your state attorney general. Absolutely great advice, Donnie. Alan says, backbone and selflessness. Bathed in prayer.
Wow. There's a great anecdote, if I can interrupt real here. I saw a story. I don't remember what news outlet I saw it on, but it was about an American who has gone to Ukraine to fight. Do you guys remember Ukraine? You know, that's still going on. It's out of the news cycle, but it's still happening. And they interviewed him and they said, you know, are you worried about, you know, getting killed? And he said, you know, I try not to think about it. But the thing about war is that the more people are willing to die, the fewer have to.
Yeah.
And that's, whew.
I think overall Americans are soft when it comes to that. I'm not so sure how many would be willing to do that. Somebody said legitimate elections would be a great start. Another person said that Christians need to start running for office. I agree with everything that you guys are saying. Rick says spirit-filled Christians need to run for public office. George Washington would be shocked at what this country has become. Joshua says America's solution is not glorifying criminal Amen. Behavior. America's and mass murders behavior do what Germany does, does not publish for the crimes or persons identifying names and faces. In other words, don't promote, don't glorify it so that other people will copycat it.
Mm-hmm. Garrett, like the Instagram of the shooter last night.
Yeah, I put that on my Twitter account. By the way, guys, if you aren't following me on Twitter, jump on and make sure that you follow me on Twitter, because I'm posting stuff there all the time, more so than Facebook or Instagram or anything else, just because it's an easier platform for me to jump on. But yeah, I posted all of these. We had people that were creating all of these ghost accounts to get followers.
Yeah, within minutes, there was like 12 or 15.
Yeah, within
fake
minutes.
Accounts.
Gary says the 80 million of us that are conservative need to start getting loud. We need to show up, school boards, local community meetings. We need to vote. Agreed. Howard says colleges and schools need to be accountable for fair education. You know, if I was in politics and I had the leverage, I could stop a lot of this wokeism being taught in school immediately.
How would you do that?
Number one, I give parents. I'm glad you asked that. It's almost like we teed that up there.
It's almost like I have a job here.
Number one, I would de-unionize the teachers. Number two, I would give parents school choice with vouchers to send their kids to whatever school that they want to go to. And immediately you would almost stop it overnight because it's a money game and mm-hmm. people would not want to lose money. And these schools that are promoting this wokeism agenda would be shut down literally overnight. Number three, I would make all, y'all need to elect me for president. Number three, I would make all curriculum, I would mandate all curriculum to be transparent. Every parent and every school would know exactly what is being taught to their kids and would have
the ability. Why is that not the case?
I have no idea.
Because they want to hide what they're teaching.
But just those two or three things right there would solve the problem when it comes to our educational systems. For everybody who's always talking about, I give you problems and never give you solutions, I just gave you three or four right there.
Deborah, you know, the thing about, sorry.
Go ahead.
The thing about voting keeps coming up, and I found a statistic in my notes. But I found that less than half of 90 million Christian Americans vote. So if they can keep us in our church buildings and keep our voices within that building, then the other wins, right? Because if half of us are voting.
Yeah.
It's almost like the problems with monasteries is you have the people who theoretically should be closest to God, but they don't interact with the greater society and don't have any impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1965, Ronnie P. says Second Amendment doesn't exist in New York.
I actually have something that I just pulled up about that. Looking over my shoulder in my notes here. The president said that the Second Amendment is not absolute.
Man, that's according to the Washington Post.
Now, remember also we have, or did we already get rid of the disinformation task force, or is that still a thing?
I think they're still working on it behind the
scenes. They're
still
working on that. So that means the First Amendment is not absolute. Now, you got to remember that these rights, according to the founding fathers that they say were deists, and maybe some of them were, but, you know, theoretically are people who are smarter than us, they said that those rights come from God.
Yeah. That's exactly
right. Well, that's why they don't want them, right? If they come from God and they don't like God, then they want to get rid of things that come from God.
Well, then they should hate everything that, you know, God likes. Really. I mean, you would think, and it kind of looks like that's how it is.
My daddy and my grandfather used to always say something like this. You say we don't need the Second Amendment. Come and get our guns and you'll see why we have the Second Amendment. And, you know, and that's so true. But the whole gun narrative that is being pushed right now has nothing to do with stopping the violence.
You're exactly right.
It has to do with limiting the leverage of the people in the say of the direction of their government.
Let's say hypothetically that our government moves and does things, and let's say even there's an amendment proposed to get rid of the Second Amendment, to ban guns completely, and let's say that the states ratify that amendment. And that's what we have now. We live in a country where guns are banned. Do you think for a second that Secret Service agents guarding our politicians won't have guns? Mm-mm. Do you think for a second that armored car drivers will not have guns? Do you think that the bodyguards of the Hollywood elites will not have guns? No, not at all. They have no intention of getting rid of guns for themselves. Their mm-hmm. only intention is making sure we don't have them.
Yeah.
Because as Snowball said in Animal Farm, all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others.
Right. I bet you Beto, when he was standing right there lifting up his voice, showing his tail on the floor at that press conference, I bet he had an armed security person somewhere very close to him, probably sitting right beside him or right behind him. Why didn't they just put the guns on the table there? They didn't want to do that. I bet that's armed security personnel followed him all the way home. I bet that armed security personnel sat outside the house and made sure that they were all right.
That's why he's okay with saying things like that, because he's not that courageous.
No, it's an elitist agenda. They want that. It's whatever's okay with them. But they don't want us to have
that. And I think they say those things over and over and over enough times that something in their brain says this is right.
Yeah. Programming.
Yeah. I'm getting mad. I can feel my blood pressure going up. Edgar says, kind of what baseball does. Somebody runs onto the field. They switch the camera and don't show the person was trespassing so that nobody else gets any ideas. He's talking about advertising or the media covering these events that are happening.
Covering like with a wet blanket.
Scott Gibson is trying to flirt with Danielle. I think he says Danielle Gibson for Cookeville mayor 2026. I'll vote for her.
Yeah, I'd vote for her.
I'd vote for
her. I want to warn you, but that guy's really into you.
I'll tell my husband. He better watch out.
Yeah. Bring back the Pledge of Allegiance. Boy, I wish that in our schools that we would all open our schools back up in prayer and in the Pledge of Allegiance every morning and teach our kids to love America again. Mm-hmm. We used to have, I don't know if they still do it, we used to have the Tennessee Blue Book, and we had to learn about our state and the history of our state, good and bad history. And it gave us a love for our state and gave us a love for our nation. That's not being taught now in our schools at all. We do need to bring that back. Bring back God in the election. And so there's so much that we could say here. All right, so we've given you some, you guys have given some great ideas, and we've gotten Danielle, she's going to be elected in 2026, and I've figured out how to fix the school situation. So let me ask us now on the spiritual side of the equation. So for those of you who are listening on podcast or watching, this is the first time you tune in, my real job is I'm a pastor. I do this because I need another outlet. I'm so frustrated. I got to have a way to talk. And so what is the spiritual answer for this? What do we need to do as Christians to make a stand? You know, I had this thought a while ago about the Second Amendment. Maybe the whole push to take away the guns is because maybe they do know of a civil unrest that's coming and they want to make sure that the ground isn't level, the playing field isn't level. I don't know. But as Christians, what can we do? Like, we're peaceful people. You know, by nature, we're peaceful people. We believe in fighting for the nation, but we're peaceful people. We're not people that are aggressive and obnoxious and in your face. We're not, I'm saying for the most part, we're not people who believe in being ugly or rude or unkind. We believe in trying to be at peace with all men as much as lies within us. But how do we as Christians in this environment operate? What can we do and be effective? So you want to jump in on that? Who wants to jump first? Y'all are looking at each other like you're at a sword fight and you're just waiting on one of the others to...
I'm just watching the buttons to see which one is going to press first.
Ladies first.
Well, first of all, I believe that we have to be in prayer. Yeah. And we have to not be afraid to run into this cultural war. We have to, I feel like there's this fine line of being spirit-filled and in our prayer closet and being spirit-filled and in our prayer closet and addressing these issues and coming against the things that are coming towards us.
So you are not on that side of the equation that kind of has the mindset that Christians need to take a back seat at politics.
Absolutely not. I think we're supposed to occupy until he comes.
Yeah. So we need to get aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we're supposed to just sit back and let all of this happen, right? Because we're also supposed to be bringing people to heaven with us and winning souls.
Yeah.
And if we just sit back and let all of this happen, making any progress.
Yeah. It's, and that, you know, I have some of my favorite things are things I don't agree with because they're just so ridiculous. And one of them is, well, God sets up kings and he tears them down. Okay. How do kings come into power? War, intrigue, mm-hmm. espionage.
Right.
That's not how, well, I mean, until this last election, that's not how we got presidents, but we voted for him. We vote for him. We live in a country that theoretically, at least even now, we have control over who's running the show.
Mm-hmm.
We the people. So to the extent that we still have that, we as God's people need to use that.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that we shouldn't do that and shouldn't be involved is ridiculous.
Absolutely.
It's anti-Christ.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. So good. There's so much that you guys are jumping on here. You know, and saying that, I'm just looking at heat up the lukewarm church. Howard says, I tell you, we need fire back in the pulpits.
Amen.
We need some men and women of God that are in the pulpits that are on fire, courageous, making a stand. I'm talking about radical. This is not the time for lazy church. This is not the time to be complacent.
You know what? I know we're running out of time, but this past week I ran a little poll on my Instagram just to get an idea of what we had going on around here. And all it said was, has your pastor addressed I think I said abortion and political issues, or maybe just abortion. Out of hundreds of people that viewed this, 5 people responded. 4 said no, and 1 said yes. Out of hundreds, 5 only responded. So, you know, that tells me the silent, and it automatically defaults to, no, they haven't addressed it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, there again, there's so much. I love what 1965 Ronnie P says, looking forward to a big brand new Bend church in Wonder, Tennessee, with me in it. Come on. I'm all about planting campuses all over the world, man. Come on. So, yeah, prayer is our weapon. We've got to make a stand. We've got to get involved. We need the church to get on fire, folks. We can't play this game anymore. We can't sit by on the bench while other people are hitting the ball and determining what the score of the game is going to be for us. We can't do that. We've got to get aggressive. We got to get involved. That does not mean that we have to be obnoxious or ugly. We do not need to be unchristian. We do need to lift up the light, the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to show people love, you know, love them until it hurts. And it's going to hurt. I promise you it's going to hurt. But we cannot stop being a Christian. We can't compartmentalize. Let me say it like this. We can't compartmentalize our Christian life and then, you know, our secular life over here and our family life over there. Being a Christian means that Jesus rules, guides, and leads in every single area of your life.
Yeah.
And that means even at the voting booth or any other place. And so I tell you what, let's do tonight before we go off the air and before we get off this podcast, for those of you listening all over the world, let's pray and let's ask the Lord to help us and to help America. And I'm going to ask all of you who are in the chat room, if you'll come into agreement and maybe even make declarations of faith in that chat room as I'm praying. Let's start out tonight by praying for all the families who are working on funeral arrangements for 19, 9 and 10 year old children, which is just, it's beyond comprehension to me that they're having to do that. I just do not know how I would be responding if I was in that situation. And, you know, I'm sorry to get emotional about that, but I got 2 grandbabies and I just can't imagine getting the call to come to a school where my baby's just been shot. I just can't imagine it. So let's pray. And let's pray that God would intervene. If any nation can overcome the setbacks, America can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The founding fathers of America had enough wisdom, the wisdom of God, I believe, to put into place parameters that if we'll be strict constitutionalists.
Yeah.
Play by our own rules.
Yeah. We just got to play by the rules. If we'll be strict constitutionalists, then guys, what that means is we can turn the tide, and with the help of God. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's the only way it's going to happen right now. So let's pray. Can we do that? Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up every single one of these precious families.
Yes,
Lord. Who tonight are grieving with unexplainable grief. The weight must be beyond comprehension. Holy Spirit, you're the only one who could take what the enemy means for evil and turn it for good. So God, we pray right now that you would step into this extremely tragic moment.
Yes, Lord.
And that somehow or another, you would help these families and that Jesus would get the glory. Father, I pray for all the parties involved, that you would be with them, that you'd give them wisdom to know what to do. And I pray, Lord, right there where that innocent blood was shed, we know that their blood is crying out. The voice of their blood is crying out of the ground to you. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would visit that town with your glory. And while we're at it, Lord, we pray for America. We pray that from coast to coast, from sea to sea, that you would visit America with your presence and your power once again.
Yes, Lord.
That you would turn the heart of this wicked nation back towards you. That this would once again be the land that God has blessed. Lord, give us mercy and grace. Rebuke this terrible scourge that is sweeping across the land, that is dividing us and destroying us. We take authority over the demon spirits that have been released against this nation, and we claim America for Jesus.
Yes.
We plead the loving blood of Jesus over America. And God, we thank you. We know that our hope is in you, and so we look to you. We look to you. We look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from you. We thank you tonight for it.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for praying with us. Thank you for hanging in there with us. Again, make sure that you subscribe and share this feed. Whatever you do, please share this feed so that other people will jump on, like, and make sure you hit the notification bell. And once again, I want to thank you, thank all of my partners that have helped me. So many of you made everything that we're doing right now possible. You literally paid for all of these cameras, these lights, and the things that are here. You did that. And so to all of my partners that are partnering with me, thank you. And for those of you who are jumping on and partnering even now, thank you so much for being a part of what God is trying to use us to do. I really don't know. I just know that God put this in my heart and told me to start doing it. So I'm trying to figure out my way and what he wants me to do. Well, listen, until next week, we love you, and we're so glad that you tuned in. So whatever you do, have a great week. And remember, if God be for you, can nobody be against you. God bless you.